You're listening to the Gym Class Podcast, KGYM Sports Radio.
Oh, welcome into the gym class here at KGYM on this Monday, the 16th of November. Great to have you aboard here in Eastern Iowa and around the region, around the states, what have you. Scott Unash from our studios in the southwest side of Cedar Rapids. Buttons on the other side of the glass. Mark Dukes from his home on the southwest side of Cedar Rapids. Reminder, take care out there around Eastern Iowa. As we get into the show, we got a good one for you. Michael Oss will join us. We'll talk about Iowa, Minnesota. We'll look ahead to Iowa and Penn State, Iowa State and Kansas State. Lots to look forward to with Mike, and we will do that coming up with our Monday talk with the Gazette sports columnist here in just a little bit. We'll take a look at a busy weekend that was in the world of sports. The Masters, Dustin Johnson, world number one, is your new green jacket winner. Big news out of the NCAA today. And, of course, look back at kind of a cantankerous Iowa-Minnesota game from last Friday. Is that it? I got everything written down, Mark?
I think for the most part, we've got a nice giveaway today that folks are familiar with, and we'll get to that. And we've got a Monday night football game that a lot of folks around here will be interested in, and that's Bears-Vikings.
That is correct. We've got that for you tonight at 6:30 on the Jim OT 107.5 FM along with 106.3 FM this evening. We've got the Cyclone Coaches Show coming your way tonight at 6:30. That'll be on 1600 AM and 102.3 FM. We're coming your way this afternoon with local programming on 1600 AM, 102.3 in Cedar Rapids and 106.3 FM in Iowa City, your KGYM radio stream, mobile app, and smart speaker. However you're joining us today, we very much thank you. We do have a great giveaway all this week. Getting you ready for the holidays, getting you ready for a little bit colder weather, although it's going to be 68 degrees from what I read on Thursday, which will be a very nice thing to have. But we have another week of Cedar Ridge bourbon to give away, Mark, starting today before 4 o'clock today. And that is terrific. We are celebrating the fact that Cedar Ridge is the first craft distiller in the country to produce the number one selling bourbon in any state. That's any state, Mark. Congratulations to them.
Yeah, that was announced earlier this month, and congratulations to Cedar Ridge. Terrific venue in every right, but this bourbon has really taken off, and we're happy to be able to provide five more bottles this week.
Yeah, we got that. And we'll give one away coming up today on the program. And then during the Todd Brommelkamp show with Alex Kuhn coming up later on from 4 o'clock until 6 o'clock, they also have a giveaway as well from Vernon Village True Value. And they've got a $30 gift card to give away on the program. So they will do that sometime between 4 o'clock and 6 o'clock. Text line available to you at 319-366-1600. That's 319-366-1600. Available out there and ready to go out there. And, yeah, very interesting that we will have that giveaway coming up for you here in just a little bit. Where do you want to start, Mark? We got so much to get to in the program today.
Well, let's go back to Friday as we left the air. Iowa and Minnesota met up a short time after that, and it resulted in a 35-7 Iowa victory, which a columnist in the Minneapolis Star Tribune is calling Kirk Ferentz petty.
Mike, what the game being on FS1, even the officiating expert said Iowa had a bush league move with the plays at the end with the challenge. And then, he mentioned the challenge. He wasn't on when they were talking about three straight timeouts. But I believe we now see the level of love between the Iowa coaching staff and the Minnesota coaching staff magnified in the last few minutes of that game on Friday evening.
Yeah, there's no question about it. And I referred to the column in the Minneapolis Star Tribune. That writer believed it started when Iowa went up 26-0 in the third quarter. And Kirk Ferentz decided to go for 2 points. Keep in mind, this is the third quarter. If you watched any football at all, you can appreciate what might happen in a quarter and a half. But that's where the columnists thought it was petty on Kirk's part. And then certainly in the last 19 seconds, when first P.J. Fleck called a timeout, when he had his starters on the field and when Iowa had its backups and on defense, Fleck calls a timeout with 19 seconds left. Kirk Ferentz proceeds to call three straight timeouts. Columnist, second point of pettiness on Kirk Ferentz's part. And I just love Kirk is not a quote machine by any means over the years, the last 22 years. But it was a great quote when he said, "We thought we'd just take Floyd back to Iowa City with us and leave the timeouts here." And I don't know what the origin is or if this is any kind of feud whatsoever. It certainly looks like it. And I don't know what the source of it is, but there was an interesting move on Kirk Ferentz's part. Was it petty? You tell us.
Yeah, 319-366-1600 is the text line. Text line, loving new Kirk, 9267. let's see, 9267 weighing in. Love the swagger from Kirk. So uncommon. 5713. A two-parter here. Love the new fiery Kirk we saw Friday night. And also adds, guys, how come nobody is talking about number 3 Ohio State being a 20.5 point favorite over number 9 Indiana this coming Saturday? That is an astounding number, especially with Michael Penix doing as well as he is with the Hoosiers right now. But I think we'll get more into that as we get through the week and get closer to the weekend. And hopefully keep all the games on the schedule out there. You can get on the text line as well at 319-366-1600. Aside from all the shenanigans at the end of the game, Mark, that was a good old-fashioned butt-whipping on Friday night that Iowa instilled on the Gophers.
It was indeed the second straight week of what we've seen, first against Michigan State, now against Minnesota. It was no match whatsoever. Iowa's defense was tremendous once again. The first team not allowing a touchdown. And then the offense, once Iowa settled into the running game, it was, you know, again, no match for a Minnesota team that some felt would contend for the Western Division title and looked far from a contender Friday night.
Iowa, I believe it's 84-7 now, Mark, has outscored their last two opponents, and that's getting things done. And it's no real secret that once the Hawkeyes start to run the football, things get going in the right direction, and that's what happened in the game on Friday evening. Iowa ran the football and ran it very effectively against Minnesota. And let's say it like it is. Minnesota's defense is not very good. And it's just the situation that the Gophers lost 4 NFL draft picks off that defense. Anybody would be would be rebuilding at the present time. But Goodson ran for 142. Sargent ran for 86 in that particular ball game. And Iowa just never let off as far as the pedal is concerned. Nico Reganey with the jet sweep for a touchdown to get things started in that particular game as well. So Hawkeyes put up 346 yards total offense, 235 with the rush game, and Spencer Petras didn't need to do that much to help win that ball game. He only threw it 18 times, did throw one touchdown pass for 111 yards.
And that was to Amir Smith-Marset, who was back on the field after his suspension for an OWI. And, you know, Scott, Iowa only had the ball on offense for 23 minutes, 23 clock minutes. I mean, obviously, that's a huge time of possession advantage for Minnesota. But by and large, except for maybe a drive or two, it was quick hitting for the Hawkeyes, taking advantage of turnovers. You mentioned Spencer Petras, threw just an awful interception early on.
But
Minnesota got no blood from that. Ended up having to punt after two stupid penalties.
Including one on PJ Fleck.
Yeah, and it was just not smart in Minnesota's regard because it had tremendous field position. But I guess we can say Spencer Petras really hasn't rounded into form yet. He has his moments, but both good and bad. Then the kicking game. I don't know if anybody's concerned about the kicking game. I'm not talking about punting, but Keith Duncan missed his second field goal. Okay, it was 50-yarder. Not an easy kick by any means. And then a botched extra point. And you don't want that those two things to happen any too often against a team that's, you know, Iowa plays so many one-possession games that, you know, you don't want to come back to have that bite you. But Keith Duncan, I have all the trust in the world in him. But, yeah, by and large, second straight dominant performance by the Hawkeyes and now go to Penn State as a slim favorite. This is going to be a better Penn State defense than what we saw last week. Most teams are better than Minnesota on that side of the ball. Will Penn State be hungry, or is it packing the bags on this season?
That's the question with Iowa and Penn State. Nittany Lions had a quarterback change, which seemed to ignite the offense a little bit. Clifford wasn't getting anything done against Nebraska, and the Big Red came out, got their first victory on Saturday. Penn State to 0-4 for only the, I believe, the second time in program history. That tells you something right there. And it's a wounded Lion, but it's a Lion nonetheless. It is still Penn State. They still have a lot of talent assembled in Happy Valley. Iowa has done well there in the past, though. There won't be 110,000 or whatever at Beaver Stadium, but we'll see how it all plays out. You can bet your bottom dollar that Penn State is not going to fold the tent for this season, and it's going to be a very formidable task. But this Iowa team, even though they did not play a perfect game, as you mentioned, Mark, still a few warts out there. It's an Iowa team that's getting better and better each and every week.
I think so, and getting production from guys like Zach Van Valkenburg on the defensive line, who had three sacks, named the Big Ten Defensive Player of the Week this week. And I was just thinking today what tremendous contributions Iowa has gotten out of its transfers. You have Van Valkenburg, who was a Division II player in Michigan. You've got Jack Heflin on the defensive line as well. Charlie Jones, the special teams player of the week last week in the Big Ten. He came from Buffalo. And, of course, Coy Kronk, who has had to sit out the last couple games, but it looks like he's going to be back this week against Penn State. And Kronk coming over from Indiana. So maybe I missed someone, too. But those four in particular, transfers, have really helped this Iowa football team.
319-366-1600. That is the text line available to you again. 319-366-1600. 4570 coming to the aid of PJ Fleck here, Mark. Nothing wrong with Fleck wanting to not get shut out. At least he went for a TD and not just kicked a field goal. If Kirk doesn't want them to score, why didn't he stop them after the three timeouts? So I had no problems with Fleck calling the timeout there. I know he wanted to get a touchdown in. He wasn't going to kick a field goal. But if he can call a timeout, I guess Kirk can call a timeout and did call several timeouts.
The only unfortunate aspect of that brush by handshake at the end of the game between Ferentz and Fleck was that both were wearing masks. And I'm, of course, glad they were. But I would love to have seen the facial expressions on both coaches' face. In my mind, class is in session, and PJ was seated there watching one of the masters at work.
Yeah. Now we got the Iowa-Minnesota folks going back and forth on the text line a little bit now. So Good to see the rivalry doing very well, even though we are in some unusual times here in the Midwest. At 18 past the hour of 3 o'clock, we've got the Cedar Ridge Bourbon giveaway before 4 o'clock. That will be coming up here in just a little bit. 67-39, Heflin getting better, but a little disappointed with his hype coming in. He was an all-MAC guy, and I think he is getting better. The Iowa defensive line, not too bad in the last couple of weeks. The Iowa defense getting better. Good to see Jack Campbell out there getting some playing time. He was doing his usual self, throwing himself all over the field from sideline to sideline. He got in there, shared time with Benson a little bit, and I think that's probably going to be the MO as far as that linebacking crew is concerned. And more, Iowa's going to kind of a 4-2-5 with that cash in there, Mark. It seems that a lot of times you're seeing Iowa with just the two linebackers.
Very true. In regards to Heflin, I think, like so many defensive linemen, he may not show up on the stat sheet. I think he had three tackles against Minnesota, but he gums things up. I remember one play in particular. It was an outside running play that Minnesota was trying to put together. And by the way, Ibrahim had a nice game on the ground. But in regards to Heflin, he kind of gummed up that play and allowed other players to make the tackle. And I think it was for a loss, and I don't know why that sticks in my mind, but I thought, you know what? It's not going to show up on the stat sheet, but Heflin really made that play. And in addition to that, he gives Iowa depth on that defensive line. By the way, Austin Schulte is scheduled to be back on the defensive line as well. I don't know that he'll start, but the Hawks getting healthier as well.
Yeah, they are. They are getting healthier at that. 319-366 1600 as we talk a little Iowa Minnesota. Going to talk more about that with Michael Oss coming up here in just a little bit. It's 20 past 3. We do need to take a break. We'll come back. We'll talk about the NCAA news of the day. Look back at the Masters as well. So stay with us. More to come. Scott and Mark, along with Buttons, taking you through a Monday here on KGYM. Back with more of the Gym Class right after this.
Dear DuPaco.
Dear DuPaco.
Thanks for
new shoes for my 5K charity race.
The startup for my dog walking business.
Helping me find my financial rhythm.
Getting Dad out on the course again.
Sometimes it's the little things, and this year, the little things added up. From making regular deposits to enrolling in e-statements, it all adds up to thank yous, a DuPaco-only perk that thanks members in cash for saving, borrowing, and planning for their financial futures. And because we're a cooperative where you're not just a member, you're also an owner, everyone benefits. Since 2016, DuPaco members have shared more than $16.8 million in thank yous. Now that's a big reason to be thankful. Join the local financial cooperative where your membership pays. Federally insured by NCUA, Equal Housing Opportunity.
There was a time when you knew the name of the grocer, the banker, and the tailor. Simpler days when a rotary telephone was the most advanced communication device anyone had. That's the world Hertin and Stocker Jewelers opened its doors to back in the 1940s. A bustling downtown with friends stopping in to browse, buy, or just say hello. And no matter how busy a shop might be, you were always warmly greeted and well taken care of. Willa Dickens began working with customers in those distant days, and he raised his boys Terry and Tim to understand that it was the way you made people feel that genuinely made a difference. You'll sense it when you step into Hertin and Stocker Jewelers. Even though you'll be surrounded by today's most beautiful jewelry, you'll recognize the lost art of service that has been carefully maintained. Come see what's in those famous windows at Hertin and Stocker Jewelers on the corner of Dubuque and Washington Streets in Iowa City. And be sure to stop in and say hi to Willa, Terry, Tim, or Kate. One of them is always there.
Emergency alert system. 100 ESPN Radio is testing its emergency alert system equipment.
This has been a test of the emergency alert system.
Keeping cozy inside with a beautiful view of the outside is exactly what you need this winter. And Alexander Lumber has just the right windows from WeatherShield. With a unique ability to combine stunning style with energy efficiency, WeatherShield is creativity expressed in smart design. Alexander Lumber is excited to welcome the full line of WeatherShield windows to the family. See them today at Alexander Lumber, 4340 420th Street, or Answers by Alexander, 1534 South Gilbert Street, both in Iowa City.
Hi, I'm Drew, Division President at Reinhardt Food Service in Cedar Rapids. And Reinhardt is looking to hire Class A CDL drivers. Our average driver makes $65,000 a year, has outstanding benefits, and is home every night for dinner. And right now, we're offering a $7,500 sign-on bonus to join our team. So call today at 319-390-7481 or apply directly at rfshires.com.
Coming up on Wednesday, it's our weekly talk with Chris Liss here on the Gym Class on KGYM. We talk fantasy football with Chris, Tristan Cockcroft on with Todd and Alex as well on Wednesdays. It's all brought to you by I'm On Communications, and we'll do that coming up on Wednesday. Despite the fact DeAndre Hopkins, Mark, caught the touchdown, the Hail Mary at the end of the game, I still dropped my fantasy football game, but was not DeAndre Hopkins' fault.
That was quite the catch. There's no doubt about it, and one of the many highlights in the NFL over the weekend. I assume we will have more tonight in that Bears-Vikings game, which you said we will be carrying on KGYM. It's actually the subject of our poll question today at KGYMradio.com, brought to you by Hawkeye Title and Settlement in Iowa City. Which team wins tonight, the Bears or the Vikings? Go ahead and vote.
KGYMradio.com. And Cedar Ridge Bourbon would make a perfect gift for the upcoming holidays. I got one last year, as a matter of fact. Enjoyed it immensely. Need to get another one, and we'll get another one. So, but with that in mind, in that spirit, Mark, we're going to give somebody an opportunity to win our first of our five bourbon giveaways this week with Cedar Ridge. And we're going to do that right now. Mark, you have the softball of all softball questions. And we actually gave the answer to this a little bit earlier on in the program today. And we're going to take caller six with the first correct answer at 319-366-1600 to Mark's bourbon question.
Yeah, if you were listening earlier, we gave you the answer. The question is, earlier this month, Cedar Ridge Bourbon took over this ranking among best-selling bourbons. Ta-da. Hit it out of the park, people.
319-366-1600. That is a hanging slider right over the inside corner coming in at about 81.
Good description.
That you can extend your arms out on and hit it as long as you can. Even in a wiffle ball type atmosphere, we have that out there. We'll have bourbon from Cedar Ridge all throughout the week, and want to thank those folks down at Swisher for helping us out, and it makes a great holiday gift, as we mentioned out there. 319-366-1600. We'll get you the name of our winner coming up here in just a moment. I wanted to talk a little bit about the NCAA, Mark, because big news coming out today from the NCAA Men's Basketball Committee. I would imagine this is probably all also going to be the case down the line as far as the women's basketball tournament is concerned. It is not a done deal, but I think it's all but taken care of here. It sounds like the NCAA men's basketball tournament will be conducted in a bubble coming up in March in one city, and that city is going to be the host city of this year's Final Four, Indianapolis, Indiana. And every one of the games in the 68-team tournament sounds like it is going to be over in Indy.
Yeah, not official yet, as you mentioned, but that all indications, the NCAA exhibiting some forward thinking in this regard. Some folks say, well, why not a larger city or whatnot? Indianapolis has a lot of experience hosting tournaments, principally the Big Ten, you know, every other year or whatever it may be. How many courts are going to be available in the Indianapolis area? I don't know. They obviously cannot all be played on the same court. You'd be playing 24 hours a day, but gone are the Dayton play-in games, apparently.
Correct. Well, let's think about this. Let's think about this. First of all, is it a good idea? 319-366-1600, if you'd like to weigh in. Is that a good idea out there? Okay, Lucas Oil is where the Final Four is going to be. If you really wanted to think about this, you could put two courts in Lucas Oil Stadium without any problem. Leading up to the Final Four. The Final Four is going to have one court. We know that. But you can put two courts at least in Lucas Oil. Bankers Life Fieldhouse has another. And for the purposes of crowd size, more than likely in March, Hinkle Fieldhouse, where Butler plays, the historic Hinkle Fieldhouse, would also suffice as far as a court is concerned. So there's four right there. There's your four regions. I don't know if they're looking at eight. I don't know what the timetable is going to be. I don't know. It may be an elongated NCAA tournament this year. You may not have all the games on Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday of that first weekend. You may go, you know, a Monday. Who knows? I mean, these are unusual times. And I think you've got four different arenas right there, or at least locales that you can play each region at. And I'm not exactly sure. There's a lot of planning that's going to have to go with this, Mark, but I think you have four very big courts right there.
Yeah, of course, the NBA quite successfully played all its games in the abbreviated regular season and postseason at the Disney Complex. I'm not familiar with that, but it turned out pretty well. And I'm interested in the hotel situation. You know, how many teams will be allowed to stay in the same hotel?
Who knows how many fans we're going to have, though, by then?
Maybe none.
None?
Maybe none. But I think it's a measure of forward thinking on the NCAA's part, assuming that not a whole lot is going to change in the next few months in regard to the coronavirus. So I'll be interested to see, and not only if this transpires, but the logistics of it. You mentioned the courts. They're going to play, you know, two games in a week. It'll be interesting to see what the details will turn out to be.
Yeah, and I'm with you. I think it's a good idea, and I think you're going to see the women's tournament do the exact same thing. And who knows? Now wrestling is in one arena, so we have that taken care of. Maybe this will be a situation the same as Division II and Division III. Who knows how that's going to play out. We hope that those athletes get a chance to play this winter as well, but we'll see. We're going hour to hour, we're going half hour. We're down to almost going 15 minutes to 15 minutes now, Mark, I think, as far as this fight is concerned. But at least some forward thinking by the NCAA today, and that's been one of the criticisms since last March as far as the NCAA is concerned.
And unrelated news there, but certainly related to college basketball, was announced today that the Iowa game against Gonzaga, there will be no tickets sold at that venue in South Dakota. That game coming up in mid-December, I believe.
Yeah. 6429 lets us know in the text line that IUPUI, affectionately known as Ooey Pooey, plays at the Fairgrounds Coliseum in Indy, which is a decent size if the Pacers have Bankers Life booked up. And yeah, that's going to be one of the big rubs in there. And you know, if it comes down to this, if the NCAA can get games in Bankers Life Fieldhouse, you don't have to tear down the Pacers court and put in the NCAA court and all this jazz out there. Just play the game this year. Used to be we could play games on any court, Mark. We didn't have to have the special built court for the NCAA tournament. That was kind of the fun part of it. You can see the little stickers on the court and everything back in the day. Buttons is looking at me and smiling. Go Google it. Look it up. It used to happen, Buttons.
I would love to see the championship game and maybe even the Final Four be played at Hinkle Fieldhouse.
That would be cool.
Site of the Hoosiers movie. That'd be kind of cool,
I think. It would be. We have not forgotten about the Masters, 9267, who says the best part of DJ winning, of course, is to get the annual viewing of Paulina Gretzky Johnson. But DJ deserves the accolades for the victory at Augusta National over the weekend. A very, very dominating performance by Dustin Johnson.
Yeah, Paulina needs no words from this guy. Dustin Johnson with a thoroughly dominating performance.
Dustin doesn't need any words from anyone after that performance.
No. And how would you like to be Cameron Smith, the Australian, who is the only player to shoot every round, including Johnson, the only player this year to shoot every round in the 60s, and he loses by 5 shots. But Cameron Smith, and actually Ben on as well because they tied for second, did was quite remarkable and would have won a lot of Masters tournaments. No crying for them, though. They each took home $1 million for a tie for second. But Dustin Johnson setting a record for a Masters at 20 under par. And just looked, even though it got tight in the first few holes, his lead shrunk to one. And he was looked to be in control throughout. And highlight of my day was watching Tiger Woods make a 10 on the 12th hole.
Yeah, but then he came back and
strung
some birdies together. But, you know, it's throwing caution into the wind right there. But anybody can do it, right? Now that we've seen it, anybody can throw up a 10. And it has been done before. It will be done again. Yours truly has done it. In a tournament, not on a par 3, it was a par 5, so I feel a little bit better about that, but it has been done out there. All right, 3:35, we're going to take a break, come back, Mike Colas will join us, and a reminder, we all need a little strength right now, which is why KGYM has teamed up with Bergen KDV to bring you ICR Strength. It's our way of showing how much we believe in the community, the businesses, the people, and the possibilities, and find out more on that at both our websites, KGYMradio.com and the Z102.9 website as well. We're going to take a break, come back. Mike Colas joins us after this here on KGYM.
Filmstein's been a Midwest One Bank customer since we were founded almost 9 years ago now.
We're talking with Andrew Sherburn from Filmstein Theater about Midwest One Bank.
This is a bank that cares about their community. Midwest One Bank is absolutely a partner in our business. We work with their loan department when we had to expand.
From loans to checking, business credit cards to treasury management and more, trust Midwest One Bank with all your business banking.
Midwest One Bank really is simply better banking.
Member FDIC. Loans subject to credit approval.
From kitchen tables on years-old laptops, your employees scrambled to help keep your business running when things got crazy. Now, as work from home settles in for a longer haul, some computers will need to be replaced. Do it right with help from Network Computer Solutions. They sell business-grade computers that stand up to heavy workloads and interface correctly with your network. Make sure your people have the equipment they need to keep up their impressive, productive pace. Get in touch with local, friendly Network Computer Solutions at ncsei.com.
At Shell, we know from the time you get up to the time you wrap up,
good night,
there's a lot of meetups, eat-ups, and hurry-ups. So come to Shell and get 3 things done at once. Fill up with Shell V-Power Nitro Plus to help keep your engine running like new. Save up with the Fuel Rewards program and never pay full price for gas again. And snack up with in-store rewards to save even more at the pump. Make the most of the stop you need to make with Shell. And engines that continuously use Shell V-Power Nitro Plus premium gasoline. See full terms and conditions at fuelrewards.com.
Ready for an oil change? O'Reilly Auto Parts has everything you need. Our professional parts people can suggest the best products for your car and budget, like 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil, just $28.95. Plus, earn a $10 gift card after mail-in rebate and double O rewards points. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit O'ReillyAuto.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Back with you on the Gym Class here on KGYM 1600 AM, along with 106.3 in Iowa City, 102.3 FM in Cedar Rapids. Scott Unash and Mark Dukes with you as we take you through the 3 o'clock hour here on this Monday. We've got the Bears and the Vikings coming your way tonight at 6:30. That is on 107.5, the Gym OT, along with 106.3 FM. 1600 AM, 102.3 FM. You will have the Cyclone Coaches Show tonight at 6:30, getting ready for a big one in Ames on Saturday, Iowa State and Kansas State. On Mondays, we talk with Mike Halas, Gazette Sports columnist, also covers Iowa football and Iowa basketball and everything in between. And he joins us on the Monday edition of the program. And full disclosure here, Mike, you covered Iowa, Minnesota from the comfort of your couch, or I don't know where you were, but you did you got all in all the Zooms, and you did the radio and the TV and watched it and wrote about it from there.
Yeah, there's limited space available in these press boxes during the COVID era, so we just sent one person. That was Jeff Johnson, did a great job for us up there, and I did something I've never done before with an Iowa football game and just watched it at home on TV, and thought that whole experience, wasn't all that impressed with the whole TV experience, tell you the truth.
I thought that was a very not the best crew broadcasting that game.
I would second that.
Hate to do that, but that was kind of the case.
No, as long as they don't hear us say it, you know.
Hey, Mike. But
you know, it is a whole different deal. I mean, you miss certain things, and you also see a lot of things that you don't see in person. So it was kind of eye opening to get an idea of what the rest of the world goes through or sees.
Mike, we were talking earlier about a Minneapolis Star Tribune column, which I don't know if you've read or not, but basically the author calling Kirk Ferentz petty for going for 2 points, up 26-0, and then in the final 19 seconds. Is this too much noise on this subject?
Oh, I mean, it doesn't have much of a shelf life. You move on pretty quickly. It was interesting when it happened, and for 24 hours, maybe 48 hours, we talk about it, but it's not the kind of thing that's going to, you know, be in the front of our minds for much longer. The word petty, I can see where he's coming from. I mean, you call 3 straight timeouts with 19 seconds left in a game that's over. I'm not sure I'd call that sporting. But there was some sort of message there, and I'm interested to see if Ferentz will expound on that tomorrow. He was kind of coy about it after the game, but these people, they're not playing beanbag, you know? These are competitors, and these are people fighting for the same piece of meat. These are people who compete for the same recruits in a lot of instances. They're playing for the same championships, and they're trying to step over each other. And then there are personality styles involved too, that they're certainly not similar people. So maybe I'm just reading something into it that I do not know, but maybe he doesn't care for Flex, you know, always, you know, the volume of PJ Flex always set at 11.
Yeah.
And Ferentz is usually in that 3 to 4 range. So maybe there's that. I don't know. But I also know that it's hardly the, you know, the story of the season. It was something Iowa fans got a big kick out of, and I think it's something that Gopher fans felt was Bush League.
And I think we will revisit this 50-odd weeks from now if we have football, hopefully next year again.
Yeah, we don't know. I mean, for all we know, Fleck will be coaching somewhere else, or – you know, our new national pastime will be reading.
Could be. Who knows? Who knows? But I do think, before we leave that, it does show you the level that the relationship is between the Iowa staff and the Minnesota staff right now.
You know, I don't think that the Iowa staff really cares for Minnesota or Nebraska very much. In fact, I'd probably bet my garage on it. People would say, well, you can throw Iowa State in there too, but I think that there's quite a bit of respect between Ferentz and Matt Campbell, and that's been shown from both of them.
Yeah, I agree.
You know, they may have their recruiting battles, and there may be hurt feelings sometimes, but when asked point blank, they speak highly of each other. You don't get that about the Minnesota and Nebraska guys.
Well, you have more chips to deal with than I do, Mike, because my garage got destroyed by the derecho, but I get your point. The game itself, another dominating performance by the Hawkeyes.
You just brought me down with that. I mean, I didn't know that. I'm sorry to hear that. That's terrible.
That's okay. That's what we'll deal with it in the spring, okay? Yeah. Spencer Petras not rounding into form quite yet, but didn't really need to. And I thought the game turned when Iowa decided we don't need to do much more than run this football.
No, it was a pretty clear-cut scouting report. Teams had run wild over Minnesota the first 3 weeks, so that's what you got to do. And you don't want to be one-dimensional, so of course you're going to take some shots, try some things. But once Iowa got that out of its system and said, okay, now let's just, you know, beat the hell out of these guys, that was a pretty good formula.
Yeah, and things went very, very well. And good to see some people coming back as far as the Hawkeyes from injuries are concerned. That Campbell coming in defensively, I thought it did a very, very good job. Yep. Of course, Van Valkenburg with the Defensive Player of the Week honors in the Big Ten. He was really, really good.
He was, and I'm kind of happy about that because it's just to me, it's a great story. The guy transfers from a Division II school, and he didn't play much last year, played a little, but you didn't really notice the name. But here he is starting, and not just starting. I mean, he's not just a warm body. The guy had 3 sacks in a Big Ten football game. That's pretty big stuff. And, I mean, he was at Hillsdale College playing against Kutztown, you know, 2 years ago. And to be doing what he's doing on the big stage, I really think that's fantastic.
Yeah, and I think he's not the only transfer. As I mentioned earlier, Jack Heflin has come in. We know what Charlie Jones has done, and Coy Kronk. I mean, this is an avenue which Iowa's found some success.
Yeah, and the grad transfers, that's just an accepted part of the deal now for everybody. But to pull a guy off the shelf from Division II and have him sparkle is testament to the player and to the coaching that he's gotten here. So, yeah, Heflin had a good game. He got banged up late, but I guess he was all right. And we've seen what Jones can do. And then, you know, he's not a transfer, but to fly to Melbourne, Australia and pull Torrey Taylor, you know, off the big island down there, what a phenomenal acquisition for the Iowa football program. I mean, he's every bit as much a difference maker as any player on this team.
Yeah, very much so. And did his thing again Friday night against the Gophers. Mike Alas joining us here on the Monday edition of the Gym Class at 3:47. Now it's a trip to Happy Valley, which is not very happy right now. What, second time in program history? 0-4 or 0-5, something like that. They're 0-4. We know that. Penn State has not won a game. It's a wounded lion, like I said earlier on. I don't think it's a completely dead lion, though. James Franklin, I think, is going to pick these guys up off the mat, and they're going to bring it in a big way, I think, Saturday afternoon.
I think you're probably right. Whether it'll be enough or not, I don't know, but it hasn't resembled a Big Ten football team, that's for sure. The quarterback play has been choppy at best, and they're not protecting the quarterback.
No.
They've given up more sacks than anybody in the Big Ten, and by far. the offense has been, I mean, yardage-wise, their stats look good, but they just they shoot themselves in the foot. And the defense has given up so many big plays. I mean, they outgained Nebraska something, I mean, on a over 2-1, I think, or close to it. They did the same thing the first game of the year against Indiana, and they lose those games, which means that something fundamentally is very wrong with them. They've given up, I think, 7 plays of 25 yards or more the last 3 weeks. This is a team that's been pretty airtight on defense under James Franklin. So this is, it's like you've lost 6 in a row to them if you're Iowa. And this is as good a chance as you're going to have to pop these guys, and you've got to take advantage of it.
One thing I think in the back of my mind, Mike, is that Penn State, despite the fact it allows big plays, it is a better defense than Minnesota's. And I have to believe that James Franklin is going to take maybe the Pat Fitzgerald route and make Spencer Petras beat Penn State. I could be wrong about that, obviously, but Petras, as I said, has not really rounded into form as yet.
No, I think you're right. I think that's absolutely right. Iowa's certainly got its running game close to a place where it wants it to be. It's had 200 yards plus 2 weeks in a row. That's winning football. But Petras is a work in progress. I think he's going to get there, and I think I've probably said that now 4 weeks in a row, but right now, he's that quote-unquote game manager. He threw a really bad pick at Minnesota, and then they took a big shot with flea flicker. And then after that, it was pretty much safe stuff. Well, if you're running the ball, that's great. That's fine. And if you're playing defenses that aren't very good, it's even better. Where Penn State's defense is right now, I don't know. I think Iowa can run on them, but Iowa's offense is going to have to win this game, I think. I don't think they can leave it to the defense alone.
That's Iowa. Moving over to Ames, Iowa State with a week off, getting ready for Farmageddon against Kansas State, and a pretty important game for both of these teams, and especially, I think, for K-State. Well, for Iowa State as well. Iowa State wins this thing, and they are looking really, really, really good for a spot in the Big 12 championship game.
Well, Scott, I would knock off a really or two.
Okay, really, really good.
they play at Texas next week, and if they were to lose that game, the tiebreakers could get real hinky for them. There could be 2, 3, 4 teams tying for first place. And Iowa State, if they lose to Texas, it means that they would have lost to Texas and Oklahoma State. Blah, 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 you know. What would help is if Oklahoma State beat Oklahoma Saturday, but I don't look for that.
I don't either.
So Iowa State might have to go 8-1. And but first, Texas is not even on the horizon. It's first, you got to win Saturday at home against Kansas State. And Kansas State's a competent team, a 2-loss team in the conference. They started badly, just like Iowa State did in the non-conference game, but they played some good ball. They were 2 points from beating Oklahoma State. And you know, this is, to me, is an elimination game in the Big 12 title race. If Iowa State wins, it's 6-1 I think it's going to have 6 conference wins for the first time ever. I'd have to recheck that. And then that game against Texas next week becomes monstrous, really.
Black Friday as well.
Yeah, that'll be some Black Friday in the state of Iowa. So very exciting for them what they have to play for. And if this is a team that is continuing to improve, and I think it is, I think that are a better team than Kansas State.
You were on a Zoom session today with Iowa men's basketball players, Mike, and thought some of the Twitter takes were quite interesting. Jordan Bohannon, outspoken as he has become on a couple different subjects. But, hey, the season's in 9 days, and we don't have a full schedule yet. What's up?
I don't know. I mean, we think the season's in 9 days, and I think it will be. But I would expect the schedule to be announced tomorrow. What it's going to look like, I mean, Iowa's only got a couple dates, really, to answer for. They're going to have a couple of teams in a multi-team event at their place. You know they're going to play Iowa State. They've already announced the dates for Gonzaga and North Carolina, so that only leaves two games, and I'm sure there'll be, you know, a couple of tomato cans, but they don't have very many of those, so I wouldn't blame them for it. But, yeah, I mean, the season's supposed to start a week from Wednesday, and don't know about the opponent, don't know about the TV, don't know anything. And a lot of the players were asked about it today on the Zoom, and I believe them. They don't know anything, and they're kind of, you can sense they're a little frustrated about that themselves.
In the 2 minutes we have left, Mike, it looks as though the NCAA is going to conduct the March Madness tournament in one city, Indianapolis, in a bubble. Yay or nay? What do you think about it?
Yay. I mean, why go to Boise, Idaho during a pandemic? You know, I don't know how it would work, and they haven't got that figured out yet. They're not going to announce that for quite a while. But for teams that keep winning, do they just stay there for 3 weeks? I have no idea. If you're covering a team that keeps winning, do you just get an Airbnb and seal yourself off for 3 weeks? I don't know that either. But it would be really interesting to have 68 teams in the same city or same region for the first week of the tournament. And I think you'd even see some of them playing in high schools. So hopefully it would be just a one-time deal for the rest of all eternity. But for one time, it might be very interesting.
Yeah, I mean, it depends on how they do it, if they have four venues or eight venues. But, yeah, you got to keep in mind there are several venues, high school venues, around Indianapolis. Ben Davis, for one, seats 5,000. You know, you can definitely get the people you need in there.
Yeah, and you don't need very many seats anyway. But I mean, in the state of Indiana has at least 10 high school gyms that seat over 7,000 people. Mm. I've been to the one in Newcastle, and I think it's seated 9 or close to it. It is just, it's insane. But they've built these huge field houses, these coliseums. And, you know, it's religion there. And so maybe they'll slip into one of those in Indy. They've got Hinkle Fieldhouse there, obviously. There's another D1 school in the city. And there's the Pro Arena. And
you can get a cup at least in Lucas Oil.
They can do it. They can do it.
Yeah. Yeah. No doubt. All right. We will talk again Monday. And we'll see where you head off to or going anywhere.
I think I might go to Ames Saturday.
Okay. Very good. Yeah.
You know, there's a game, you know, they seem to be every day a couple games get canceled. So knock on wood.
We're going 15 minutes by 15 minutes now, man. So take care.
You too.
All right. Thanks, Mike.
You bet.
Mike Halas joins us on Mondays here in the gym class on KGYM. Congratulations to Aaron and Marion. He is our Cedar Ridge Bourbon winner today. We'll have more of that to give away the next 4 days right here in the gym class on KGYM. Scott Docterman will join us coming up tomorrow. Covers the Iowa Hawkeyes for The Athletic. Looking forward to talking with him. And in our last minute here, Mark, before we set sail here today, get you ready for the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn. We've got the Bears and the Vikings coming up tonight, a little NFC North for you at 6:30 on 107.5, 106.3 FM, and the Cyclone Coaches Show coming up tonight as well. And see how it all goes. Again, everybody take care out there, and we'll see. 1307 says, I don't think there will be any non-conference basketball games for Iowa. We'll see. I don't have the answer.
We should find out very, very soon. We neglected to offer Mike Calhas public happy birthday.
Oh.
I did so personally with him, but today's Mike's birthday, and whatever's rest the rest of it goes well for him.
Happy birthday, Mike. All right. We'll talk to you tomorrow at 3. Have a great night, everybody.
It's time for some straight talk. Look, we all drop our phones. It happens. You fumble it.